Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
You're listening to a man whose work is never done.
In a job like yours, even when it's finished, there's always one more thing to do.
And his job is to make your job easier.
It's a very difficult job, and the only way to get through it is we all work together as a team. And that means you do everything I say.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for joining me today. It's good to be with you. It's good to continue to be with you. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. You're in for a wild ride. Buckle your seatbelts because Rich Galen is in the building. Rich is our good friend. He is the cyber columnist of the outstanding publication, online publication, Mullings.com. He's a political operative or a hack, depending on who you asked. And in the interest of full disclosure, he is of the Republican species. Rich, welcome back to the show.
Hi, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to have you back.
Thanks. I'm in Madison, Wisconsin.
Beautiful downtown Madison, Wisconsin.
I'm sorry?
Beautiful downtown Madison, Wisconsin.
And look, overlooking Lake Mendota,
yeah,
which is frozen solid. This is why they invented Florida.
Did you take your skates? Have you ever ice skated?
Oh, sure, when I was a kid.
Yeah, when you were a little kid. When your center of gravity was a little lower. What are you doing in Wisconsin?
The annual meeting of the Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce is here, and I'm doing the opening speech, and Bill Sapphire is doing the noon speech today.
Wow, that's
This is interesting. This is a
Bill Sapphire is in pretty heady company there, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. He was very honored, he said, to be with me.
Yeah.
The thing about this organization, in 1971, it seems, the Manufacturers Association teamed up with the State Chamber of Commerce and formed one organization.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been very successful at it. It turned out to be a really brilliant idea.
Well, good for them. And good luck today, by the way.
Thank you.
Rich, or whenever you're doing your presentation. Rich, the president is in Europe these days.
Right.
And when I think about what's going on over there, when I think about things like the fact that you know how many times President Bush mentioned the word freedom in his State of the Union and in his inaugural address. And recently I heard Bill Kristol say that in a speech that Gerhard Schroeder, president of Germany, gave to his parliament or his assembly, whatever it's called over there, he didn't mention the word freedom once, but he did mention stability many times. And I look around, I hear that the French and the Germans want to sell China and Iran weapons, and Russia wants to sell Iran nuclear equipment and things like that. And I'm looking around and I'm thinking, are they watching the same game we're watching?
You know, it is. This is something that I learned a couple of years ago when I went to Kuwait, of all places, to watch their elections. Kuwaiti democracy is not what we think democracy is, but
right.
But the issue. This is in the run up to the war. We did not. It was clear that we were threatening Saddam, but he was still in power. And that was the big debate at the university in Kuwait City, whether or not toppling Saddam. Now, just remember, these are the people that had been overrun by him.
Right.
Whether or not toppling Saddam and the instability that was likely to create was worth the effort. And I hadn't really contemplated that until I talked to those, especially the students. They were much more conservative on this issue.
Mm-hmm.
And I've said that now since, that you have to be very careful not to be willing to trade stability for freedom.
But that's the game that the Europeans play, isn't it?
Well, it is, and it's kind of interesting that if the French would have just rolled over and stayed rolled over after they were overrun by Hitler, things would have been stable, but they wouldn't have been very happy.
Right.
Not Churchill, but this is what Neville Chamberlain was, that's what he bet on, that if you could maintain the stability and have, quote, peace in our time, then all would be well. Well, it's never well. Freedom is never a substitute for stability. I mean, stability is never a substitute for freedom.
How's the president has been received? Well, I'm not sure I've seen all the different ways. I know I've seen some of the disrespectful ways that the president has been received in Europe, but in terms of the leaders over there, what is your opinion of how he's been received over there?
Well, I think Schroeder is. I think we've talked about this before, but I think Gerhard Schroeder is even more of a weasel than Chirac, because at least Chirac is upfront about it. Gerhard Schroeder turned on America and George Bush solely for his own political gain. Chirac really believes, he believes.
Chirac did it though for apparently it seems maybe for economic gain. But I'm gonna get you to comment on that again when we come back after these messages. We got more to come with our good friend Rich Galen after these messages. It's 20 Till. Stay with us. Back at 17 Till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the small business advocate. Rich Galen is our guest. And Rich, give us your website, please.
My website is www.mullings.com.
And that's where you can go to subscribe to his thrice weekly cyber column. And I encourage you to do that. It's an outstanding publication that I'm a proud subscriber of. And even if you disagree with Rich's political perspectives, you'll like the way he says it. So check it out. At least you want to know what he's up to. That's one of the things that I know a lot of the people on the other side of the aisle, they just want to know what you're up to, Rich. That's one of the reasons they subscribe. Rich, let's
my wife too. She wants to know where I am.
Let's go back to Europe a little bit, and I'm having a problem, really a problem with Germany and Russia and France. France and Germany are now planning to sell arms to China, even though we're actually the world has been prohibited from selling China arms, hasn't it, now for a long time?
I'm not sure what the status of it is, but to be fair, we sell jet planes and all kinds of stuff to everybody, and then we end up having to fight them with our own stuff, which is actually helpful because we know the technology. arms sales has always been a conundrum, but to be fair, Jim, I think we're just as guilty of that, if guilt is the right word.
Well, we did arm Saddam Hussein at one time,
yeah,
didn't
we? We've armed almost everybody.
And the Afghans. The forerunners,
yeah, right,
to the Taliban.
Exactly. Especially with Stinger missiles. Everyone right. That they shot at us, we gave them.
But if someone is clearly a threat to civilization, which I think Iran is, and I think, I don't know about China, but China is one of those really, really interesting sticky wicket situations, isn't it? We need China.
Yeah, China is interesting, but you always get into this when you get into the lesser of two evils game.
Mm-hmm.
China, when you look at North Korea, China is the lesser of two evils. It only becomes a problem when the greater of the two evils goes away for one reason or another. Then the lesser of the two evils becomes the evil. And that's the problem that you get into with some regularity. In Asia, we need... There has to be a very, very strong, militarily strong China, or we have to go do North Korea, which we don't
right.
want to do. We want the Chinese and the Japanese, the South Koreans, to take responsibility for North Korea.
Right.
And to do that, China has to be, North Korea has to see China as
they have to fear them.
Yeah, exactly. And this always happens when, as I said, when you get into the lesser of two evils game.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you think Mr. Bush is going to fare in his trip? Is he going to make any? Is he going to convert anybody in any way at all to the thinking that we need to make sure that we need to focus on freedom in these countries and not just stability?
Yeah, I think it does, and it does in this way that. Everybody sees these things out of their own eyes, and to the extent that the Europeans see this as a bit of groveling on the part of the president, although mm-hmm. we don't see it that way, and I'm sure he didn't see it that way, But that's okay. Let them see it that way. Then they may be willing to say, well, okay, he came back and more or less apologized. So let's, but, you know, the French, they as soon as they need our help, they'll come and scream that.
Oh, absolutely.
They'll remind us about Lafayette again. Which
right.
Is,
yeah, that one guy. Yeah, I hear you. Well, I hope he does well over there. And, of course, it sounds like the choreography has been well done with the new Secretary of State, Condoleezza Rice, having gone over. She sort of smoothed out the waters a little bit, didn't she?
Yeah, I was on TV, and we were talking about this. The question was, would she overshadow the president? I said, Secretaries of State never overshadow presidents, period. But I said, I used exactly the same imagery. I said, this is a ballet. You do these things at the ministerial level first, and then the principals come in and sign it and have press conferences, and that's the way these things go. But I think it does tell you a lot about the fact that that Dr. Rice was able to move so freely through those regions and get a lot done, having been in office for less than a month. So it was fairly dramatic, I thought, the amount
she's
of work
establishing.
She was able to do.
She's establishing her gravitas pretty early, isn't she?
Yeah, but she's a serious person. I mean, it's interesting that the American left tries to diminish her stature, but it's too hard to do.
What about quickly a little bit on Iraq? How are things going with the selection of the top three or four guys over there?
Well, Chalabi dropped out the day before yesterday, so there's now a prime minister that was chosen by the party that actually won the most seats. So that part of it worked. But I think that no matter who the individuals are, the fact that the process is working along political lines and not with people, the insurgents are still doing what they're doing. But,
meaning that there have been compromises,
debating
compromises.
And I think you and I talked about this way, way back when I was still overseas over there, when we were helping them negotiate the transitional administrative law. That's the pseudo, or not pseudo, but the proto-constitution under which they're operating. And one of the guys said to me, one of the then members of the governing council said, this is new to us. We're used to negotiating, but when we negotiate over a penny, either you end up with a penny or I end up with a penny.
Right.
Now we're negotiating how much of the penny each of us is going to get. So
how do we
split
it? Right. Well, as you're right, and you would think that some of the really smart folks in this country, especially, would be talking about what a breakthrough that is for that country. But you're not seeing a lot of that, are you?
No,
we're seeing coverage of it, but I don't see a lot of commentary about how remarkable it is.
Yeah. How much did you hear about the Afghan elections after they were deemed successful?
Exactly. When we come back, Rich, I want to bring the discussion back to the United States. And I want to talk about how things are going here in the United States, politically speaking. And we'll do that right after these messages. Rich Galen is our guest. His website is Mullings.com.
Say what you see, bitch, but don't ask me why. Love never seems to last you. I can feel a new expression on my face.
Back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Rich Galen is our guest. And once again, folks, I encourage you to subscribe to Rich's cyber column, Mulling. It's at mullings.com. He also has a couple of snappy pictures in there that you can check out if you want to link over to his website and see what's going on. And he does leave a trail of evidence that he has been places. And that's good, Rich. I'm glad you do that. except, we could work on the makeup a little bit, I think.
Well, I have my own makeup with me. But every time, this is a quick story, but it's pretty cute. I do carry makeup in case I have to do, Fox or CNN or something.
That's
the road.
His story, and he's sticking to it.
But that's part of the story. Back in the days when they used to pull you aside, they used to pull random people aside at the gate at airports. I fly first class a lot because I fly a jillion miles, so I get upgraded. And they always picked somebody from first class, so my chances of being pulled were not 1 in 132, but 1 in, 12. Mm-hmm. And sure enough, one night at Atlanta, I got pulled out of line, and they go looking through my big carry-on bag and then my shoulder bag. And the woman that has my shoulder bag pulls out my little makeup kit, and she looks at it, and she looks at me, and she looks at it. And it's like a Seinfeld episode. The gate, which is jammed with people, suddenly goes absolutely dead silent. And I looked at her, and I shrugged, and I said, sometimes I just need to feel pretty.
Well, I thought she was going to say, I hope I don't find a 90 in here. So. Hey, Rich, let's talk about Mr. Bush's lame duck's term. For a lame duck, he came out. He's coming out pretty good in terms of public policy. We had a small businesses. There was a great event for small businesses recently when he signed the tort reform
right.
progress that was made. Tell us about that.
Well, the idea there is, generally speaking, is that it moves class action suits under federal rules as opposed to state rules. So class action lawyers. Are going to have the plaintiffs bar will have a much more difficult time venue shopping. You're not just going to be able to go to, you know, Beaumont, Texas anymore,
right.
knowing full well you're going to find a jury that's going to give you your clients.
$10 million. The thing, of course, I mean, the audience they know about that, but the thing that's interesting to me is, I mean, here it is, the ink is barely dry on the signature of his new term documents,
mm-hmm.
and he's already got this. That's pretty major legislation.
Right,
to be getting right out of the box, and he's got all these other things lined up, more tort reform, Social Security, et cetera, et cetera. Does this bode well for him?
Oh, yeah. He's, you know, when you have a sitting president, any sitting president, I don't care if he's in his first term or his second term, it's a big deal. Clinton was much stronger, even with the Monica stuff, he was much stronger in the second term than he was in his first term. Remember, in the first term, the midterm elections in 1994, we took over the House and
right.
controlled the Senate. So, I mean, he suffered enormous defeats politically in the first term.
Mm-hmm.
But in the second term, largely because they have so much more freedom of action because they're never going to run again.
Right.
If they choose to, they really can swing a pretty heavy baseball bat. Now, Bill Clinton, for his, you know, he was deeply into school, you know, school uniforms and things in terms of big ideas,
mm-hmm.
but this president, I'm not sure why. I think part of it is because I think they felt that he feels that his first term domestic agenda got stalled because of 9/11, and they had to devote all their time.
And it did.
So that things that they might have said, well, we can do this over the course of 6 or 7 years. Now they realize they've got to really pack into really 2 years. What they can get done in this year, the odd
right.
numbered year, 2005,
right.
not much will happen in 2006 because of the midterm elections. And then in 2007, because then in 2008, you're back into a presidential cycle. So they've really got 2 legislative years, this year and the 2007, to get all this stuff done. And I suspect he will get more done than not.
You don't think he's, as my father would have said, bitten off more than he can chew?
Well, you know, I wrote a column about that, and the title of the column was "Or What's a Heaven For?"
Mm-hmm.
And that's the line from that poem, which is otherwise unreadable. A man's reach should exceed his grasp, or what's
mm-hmm.
a heaven for? And I think the president is demonstrating that.
Yeah. Well, of course, the many of the things that he proposes are good for small businesses, and I know you're going to keep us posted on this. Rich, I appreciate you being here. Give us your website one more time.
www.mullings.com.
Have a good trip while you're out there in the great state of Wisconsin, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thank you, my friend, and congratulations on the award yet again.
Oh, I appreciate that. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Thanks, Rich. See you next time. Got to go for this hour. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and as you know, this program is for you, but I want you to remember this one last thing. When opportunity knocks, it doesn't know you've had a bad day. Greet it with a smile. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.